I just have a few remarks to make this evening. Before I do so, I'd like to take the opportunity that the Apostle Paul gives us, who says, when each one has a revelation or a, I think he says a song, various other things in 1 Corinthians, then that person should be allowed to speak. And so I've invited Sierra Nussbaum to come and share with you a poem. And I would ask that you would give it your undivided attention for these few moments.
Okay, just leave it here. This is called The Passion. Can you hear it? Excitement surges through the crowd, electric energy pulsing inside my body and into my very soul. I cannot remember the last time I was so conscious of my heartbeat. Thump, thump. There is a pounding in my ears. Thump, thump. Like the steady rhythm of a drum. Thump, thump. I can feel the blood rushing through vessels, heating my face. Thump, thump. This is it. Thump, thump. The liberation of Israel. Thump, thump. The reign of justice beginning. Thump, thump. The victory of the Messiah. But wait, what else do I hear? Clomp, clomp. The unridden colt carries the king. Shh, shh. The religious leaders plot his demise. Clink, clink. The disciples share their first Eucharist. Jingle, jingle. The betrayer sells his soul. Drip, drip. The garden soil fills with blood. Roar, roar. The mass of soldiers barge through the night. Peck, peck. The bitter kiss turns friend to foe. Slice, slice. The ear comes crashing to the ground. Boom, boom. The voice of the teacher stops the fighting. Murmur, murmur. The servant is able to hear again. Clang, clang. The chains of the prisoner ring into the night. Hush, hush. The lips of the accused make no reply. Crow, crow, crow. The rooster proclaims a brother's denial. Rip, rip. The flesh of the innocent shreds. Splash, splash. The hands of the governor refuse responsibility. Thud, thud. The cross of the condemned collides with the ground. Grunt, grunt. The muscles of a stranger carry the wretched tree. Wail, wail. The anguish of the women can be felt in their sobs. Crack, crack. The hands that healed hundreds are hanging from nails. Wheeze, wheeze. The lungs that breathed hope are suffocating. Squish, squish. The sponge is as sour as the souls of those who hurl insults. Cackle, cackle. The hearts of men scorn and mock his pain. Jesus, Jesus. The criminal finds life as he dies. Snap, snap. The vessels of the Holy One continue to burst and spill. Abba, Abba. The lips that shouted restoration whisper their last words. Bang, bang. The weather revolts against the injustice. Slash, slash. The temple curtain is torn apart. Thump, thump. Thump, thump. Thump, thump. The last slivers of hope pound out of my heart and into the darkness. Thump. Then, silence.
We tend to think that this night, this afternoon, is all about Jesus. And there's such good reason for that. What he accomplished through his sufferings. And none of us, if I may be so bold, can consider taking that upon ourselves. Pain wasn't the worst pain that humans have experienced. But he deserved it not at all. It wasn't the worst form of death that humans apply to ourselves, but it was judicial. It came with authority. He wasn't simply rejected by his neighbors. He was rejected by the powers that be, and formally put to death with the cheers of the people. It wasn't the longest suffering that people have endured, but it's a suffering that you and I probably, and I shouldn't speak for you, I know myself, would not last. And so we rightly think that this day is about the Lord, about Jesus. But we'd be wrong. If you look at the reading of the psalm that we all read tonight, the church from the very beginning has understood that it comes in the mouth of the Lord Jesus, that it speaks of him and it is he speaking, the Messiah. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me, they wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him. For he delights in him. We think that this is about Jesus, and it is Jesus speaking. The fathers of the church, almost all of them, didn't see it that way. They looked at this and said, "This is the voice of humanity. It is the voice of Messiah because it is our voice." He had no reason to say these things until he took upon himself our condition. You and I say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? You and I say that in dozens and dozens of instances because we feel bereft. We feel abandoned. We don't know his presence. Jesus isn't saying that because it is part of him. He's saying it because it's part of us. He has taken on himself our sins, our iniquity, our separation from God, And so he speaks with the voice of humanity on the cross, which means that he bridges the gap between us and God because he rises from the dead. Because he rises from the dead. We cannot separate his death from his resurrection. And the critical part of what I'm saying here isn't simply about the plight of humanity that Jesus takes upon himself, but I'm speaking to disciples. I'm speaking to those of us who have heard the call of God and answered it and want to follow him. We earlier walked around and visited the stations of the cross, the way of the cross, it's called. My God, why have you forsaken me? But now I'm in Christ, I'm a believer. I know the fellowship of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Surely I will never say this again. Yes, I will. And you will as well. And it will be more intense than you ever have experienced before. For it is the way of the cross. And what Jesus does in redeeming us is call us to believe in him and follow him. Pick up our cross and follow him. So what are we to experience? We're not going to experience nails in our hands, most of us. First of all, we aren't worth it. We're not worthy of that. People will not see us as in any sense the intense goodness that Jesus is. He provoked evil everywhere he went. Evil burst out of people and screamed at him. It's because of who he is. You and I are not like that. No, we're not going to be sacrificed. What will we experience? What will you and I experience? Well, one thing you'll experience is you'll get old and die. And the body you trust in will no longer be trustworthy. You'll suffer. A little bit, a lot. I can't predict that. God knows, not you and I. But you can be certain that you in your life will say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because you won't know, you won't feel, you won't be confident that what you're experiencing is what he wants for you. You will not. It's the human condition, and Jesus doesn't remove us from it. What he gives us is a foretaste of the joy set before us, the joy that he now knows forever. And he gives us a foretaste of that joy. And with that foretaste and sheer trust in him, he calls us to follow. So that you and I are prepared, because God has spoken and we have seen the result, resurrection. So that when you and I get into circumstances that are out of our control and our feelings are gone, our confidence is gone, our control of our world is gone, we can trust because of the joy that is set before us, which was set before him. And he endured it all, saying, "It is finished."